Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on the Fan. How we doing on this post-Thanksgiving Monday? Evan and Tiki here on the Fan till 6:30 tonight. The New York Giant fans had a chance to relax on Sunday because they got their losing out of the way on Thursday. For us as Jet fans, they return home to MetLife Stadium. They build up a big lead. Aaron Rodgers throws a brutal pick six. We watch the offense not score in the second half. We watch the defense commit a bunch of dumb turnovers, and the New York Jets lose. What else is new? As we talk about this brutal loss, we welcome in one of the great Jet fans of all time. He joins us every Monday after a Jet game. The Joe Beningo Football Monday call-in is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. The Jets are never one of those. By Approved Oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com. And by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. What a disaster this franchise is. How are you, Joe?
Oh, my God. Well, let me just say this. First, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Yesterday's loss was so bad. I mean, we have seen so many brutal losses over the years, and this season has been just one hideous loss after another.
Mm-hmm.
This loss was so bad yesterday that I actually got COVID from it. And I am blaming, no, I'm serious. I'm blaming the Jets because I was weak after this game. I mean, any other team in the NFL, any decent team, mediocre, the Carolina Panthers would have won this game yesterday with the way the Seattle Seahawks basically said, here, take the game. It's all yours. Mm. Just take this game. Two turnovers on the kicking game. A guy I never heard of who I guess was a Pro Bowler going 100 yards for a touchdown. I couldn't believe it. They even have that eight or nine play stop on the goal line, which is just mind-boggling, okay, with 52 penalties. But the way this game was lost, and there's just so many. I mean, you know, we could obviously Rodgers missing Wilson in the corner, turn the game around, then the pick six. Of course, it had to be Leonard Williams. Of course, well, of course. But this guy, we don't have a head coach. Let's put that out there. How he did not know. I mean, I go back to the fourth and six, right? I think we're in the second. What was it? Fourth quarter? Was it 21-16 at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Or 21-19, whatever it was. Fourth and six. They don't have a punter. Do you think maybe you should know that the reason the offense is on the field on a fourth and six on their own 33-yard line is because they don't have a punter?
Amazing.
And this guy Gibson is back there?
Yeah.
And it's 12 men on the field? What?
Yeah, that's Gibson's fault, by the way. Yeah. Gibson's got to count. Because I've returned punts for a long time, Joe. The first thing you do before you walk on a field is start counting. And if there's 11 in front of you, you get off the field.
Right.
Yeah, but
right?
When you see that there's no punter, shouldn't you get off the field?
The coach should know that, T. Yeah. Shouldn't the coach know that?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I'm just saying, the rote thing you do as a punt returner is count. And if there are 11 guys in front of you, you get your ass off the field. Because you can't go communicate, hey, D-tackle, get off the field.
Right.
You get off the field and just let it be downed.
Right. Only our team, by the way, could get burned when the punter on the other team is hurt. I mean, you can't make it up. Well, you really can't.
What's unbelievable, and how you feeling, by the way? You feeling all right after getting this COVID?
I mean, how do I feel? I mean, I don't feel great. I went to the doctor today. He gave me, you know, he shot me up a little bit.
Nice.
I got medication. I mean, I'm not dying. But,
what they diagnosed you as? Jet-induced?
No, there's no question. I completely blame my football team for this.
No,
I was doing good. You know, Tico. And you knew as soon as Leonard Williams returned that interception for touchdown, you knew they were losing. Yeah. I mean, you just knew they're going to lose this game. There's no doubt in my mind. But then this idiot, Solomon Thomas, the guy is stopped. I mean, he just get away from the play and it would have been stopped.
Think about that one drive that you talked about. You have a 12 man on the field that turns a 4th and 6
to a 4th and 1. Right. And then a pass interference.
Right. You get off the field on the 4th and 1.
Right.
There's a pass interference.
You make
this great stop on 4th and 1 against the line, Charbonnet, and then here's Solomon Thomas with a horse collar. I mean, then they committed a neutral zone infraction.
That was McDonald. Yeah.
All of this on one drive. So you can change the head coach, but like you said, they don't even have a head coach.
Right.
The penalties are still mind-numbing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. And how about Breece Hall? He fumbled twice in this game. He got saved in the first one by Vera Tucker. You can't be fumbling there. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, there's so many things in this game, you know. And look, I don't want to defend Rodgers, but it's a lot more than Rodgers. I mean, he didn't play well, but there's so many things involved in this game.
You're right, and we've had this argument today. There's a lot of reasons why the Jets suck. I completely agree with you.
Right.
But watching this guy every week,
he
makes a losing play every week.
He does. He has.
And if he doesn't make those losing plays, despite all the mistakes this team makes, they win games. You cannot throw a pick six to Leonard Williams.
No.
He misses wide open receivers all the time.
Yeah, he does. He has. Hey, well, there was a couple. I'll tell you one. That was a bad one to Wilson. And that was, how about the 4th down play to Devontae, where Devontae had a layout for the ball. Now, I understand that it was a little long of a pass.
Yeah.
Devontae, you're an all-pro. Can you catch the ball?
He's still got to catch that
one. Right, Teak?
Yeah.
You're an all-pro receiver. Can he catch the damn ball?
Joe, we talked about this earlier in the show. Actually, we led the show with this. And so, to me, Evan is done with Aaron.
Right.
But to
I'm not.
What Aaron's issue is that he still thinks he can do these miraculous, fading away, deep balls or in cut, whatever it is, whatever throw he's trying to make, he thinks he can do it without thinking about it. And it's almost like he needs to just take the easy throw, right? Do the easy thing first and then worry about making the spectacular play. It feels like every throw, even the first 3rd down to Devontae Adams, he's trying to throw it on the back shoulder.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know, just make it easier.
Yeah.
And he can't do the spectacular as easy anymore.
Yeah. No, it's true. I know. But the Garrett Wilson miss was egregious. I mean, he was wide open. I thought he rushed the pass. I mean, I don't know if you heard what Leonard Williams said after the game.
Yeah.
He's afraid to get hit, you know. And that's why he kind of rushed that pass.
And there may be
bit.
Some truth to that. He's 41 years old now.
Right.
He probably is.
But today's his
healthy.
Birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Aaron.
Yeah, great. Happy birthday. He did look healthier yesterday than he did.
Just a little bit.
He moved a little bit better.
A little bit.
But here's the reality. Like, after they went up 21-7 in this game, okay, and then Laviska Shenault puts the ball on the ground, and you set up the score again because the Seattle Seahawks special teams is brutal.
Right.
You, at the very minimum, kick a field goal.
Yeah. Right.
And it's 24-7, and we'll see.
Right.
This offense scored 0 points after that possession.
Well, one thing I will say, and I'm not exonerating the offense, they didn't have the ball a lot in the second half. I mean, with all these dumb penalties that the defense kept having, you know, they kept staying on the field. I didn't see what the time of possession was in the second half, but it didn't seem like the Jets had the ball too much in the second
half. They didn't, but they still got the ball 4 different times, and they couldn't score.
Including
that final possession where, despite everything that happened, if you get in the end zone, you can win the game.
And how about this, too, on the final possession? This is so Jet-like. So they got like 3rd and 26 or whatever it was, and he hits the kid Davis. He goes for like 24 yards on the play.
Yes.
They hit the 4th down, and they still lose.
I know.
Right?
Of course.
You just can't make it up.
Yeah.
And I know they're not going anywhere. They're 3-9. You know, if they won, they would have been 4-8. But, Teak, I mean, 60 years of these kind of losses.
Right.
Just,
it gets frustrating.
It's beyond.
It was just about 12 minutes of time possession in the second half.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So, it wasn't much.
It wasn't much. I mean, that's a big discrepancy.
Yeah.
18-12.
Yeah. Yeah, because they kept committing penalties. And how about this? We still got 5 games to go. I got to deal with 5 more.
So tell me why you're okay with Rodgers still in there. Because,
I'll tell you why.
It was a conversation. Obviously, Olberg shot it down today. Said Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback. But a lot of fans are just done.
Right. But you know what? Here's why I'm not, okay? Look, he's not going to be the quarterback. I doubt he's the quarterback next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have a new quarterback next year. I would love to. I'd go after Sam Darnold. I'd go after Justin Fields. I'd go after somebody like that. I really would.
Okay.
You know, we can't. We got to have somewhat of a veteran presence at quarterback next year. And Tyrod Taylor is a backup. You know, of course, we got to see who the coach is. Oh, my God. But but here's why, okay? Look, the guy came here. He wanted to be here. At least that's what it seems like. You know, how many season tickets did this guy sell because he came to this franchise? Even you bought season tickets this year, Ev. Am I right
not,
about
not
that?
Not because of him, but yes, I
okay,
understand.
Well, all
yes.
right. Well, whatever, yes. but
not
that's fine.
A little bit? He didn't influence you a little bit?
Nah, but, just whatever.
But Teague, how many people bought season tickets?
A lot.
Right?
A lot. So, if not, and if it wasn't this year, Joe, it was last year.
So let him, if he's healthy, let him finish the year. Hmm. We're not going anywhere anyway. Who gives a damn? Let him just finish the year out as the quarterback, and then next year we move on.
Well, by
that's
way,
how I feel.
I agree with you about that. Like, I'm moving on from him, but I don't right. see any reason for benching
no,
him. Like,
not this
if,
year.
If there
no.
was a relatively,
not if he's healthy. Not
right,
if he's healthy.
If there was a relatively young quarterback, like back in the day, we did this with Greg McElroy, where
right.
it's like, hey, let's see what the kid's got.
Right.
Giants are doing it with Tommy DeVito when he's right. healthy. Let's see right. what he's got.
Right.
Jordan Travis
the Giants
is
are trying to lose. I mean, come on.
Well, at this point they may.
Right.
Jordan Travis isn't ready. Like, he's just not
right.
healthy.
Right.
So the only option's a 36-year-old backup, like you said. So I agree with you only because there's no reason yes. to bench. I'm like, what are you getting gaining
nothing.
Out of benching Aaron Rodgers
nothing.
Other than humiliating him, honestly?
Right. right. Nothing. So let him play. I mean, look, he took responsibility yesterday. I know he didn't take the full responsibility, which he shouldn't. I mean, you know, there were other things besides just him, as we pointed out. But, look, he's not going to be here next year. We're not going anywhere. Let me see Aaron Rodgers finish the last five games as a Jet quarterback. I mean, that's how I feel. You know, why not?
We're talking to the great Joe Beningo. So, yesterday, obviously, there were some former Jets on the field, as we know. And I'm not just talking about Jason Myers kicking field goals.
Yeah, I know.
But obviously, Geno Smith, Leonard Williams.
Right.
Start with Geno, and we'll get to Leonard. Does it piss you off that Geno Smith is playing well, or are you kind of like, whatever,
no.
it doesn't matter?
No, not really. And yeah. I didn't think Geno had that great a game yesterday, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, he was okay. You know, they sacked him a bunch of times. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't bother me that Sam Darnold's playing well either.
How about Leonard Williams? Did the Leonard Williams thing piss you off?
Well, I mean, look, Leonard Williams... He had a big – look, I watched the game the week before because I had a little – some shekels on the Arizona game, okay?
right.
The Arizona – and Leonard had a great game there.
Yeah.
I mean, he against Arizona 2 weeks ago. He was great. Look, we let Leonard go. He was never the player that he played. I never saw him play a game for the Jets or the Giants like he played yesterday, to be very honest. So,
no, you're right.
Right.
You know, so is he motivated?
But he's a team away, so it kind of feels less –
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Less immediate.
Right. It's not. It really didn't bother me too much. I got to say.
I'm
not
with you. Because I was defending that earlier because a Jet
right.
fan called in
right.
saying that made it worse. And I'm like, maybe it's because they are multiple teams away.
Mm. Right.
And maybe it's because, I don't know, it was a few administrations ago already.
Right. Right.
Like, yeah, Leonard Williams was a disappointment. I remember you and I talking about it all the time. For a guy picked as high as he was, you want him to make an impact, not just have good PFF grades and have all the experts tell us he's doing the little things. When you pick that high, I want more than the little things, like a pick six that changes the game.
Right. Well, he's having a big time year this year, at least the last two games. I mean, he played great. So, but I you know what, Brian, like I said, it doesn't faze me at all. It really doesn't. We got to go forward. We can't. Here's the thing. There can't be a mistake this time. They have to hit it. They brought Tannenbaum in. I like that idea because he's a, you know, he's got the Jet pedigree and all of that. We can't miss this time. And Teak, I've heard you say this. There's a lot of nice candidates out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live with another first-time coordinator.
No,
here.
I agree with you.
They got to bring in a guy who's had head coaching experience. You know, I love Rex. I love Flores. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm a big fan of his. Those are the two guys I like the most. But I need somebody that's had experience. I don't see John Gruden coming here. I don't see Mike Vrabel coming here. I just don't. I mean, but we need somebody with some experience that's got an idea. Not only got an idea about what it is to be a head coach in New York, but has a feel for the disaster his franchise is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. But Joe, I think the bigger thing, what you're trying to say is you need someone who's not going to figure out what the culture is, right? It's someone who's going to come in and define what the culture is.
Right, that's right.
He's going to make it.
I like that.
Make
yes.
it him.
Yes.
Right. And if it's Flores, 100%. This is why Brian Flores is that way.
Yeah.
I love Flores.
Even though he didn't know what he was doing in Miami that first year, he brought a culture with him. And
yes.
It was what it was. Now maybe it was a little too harsh for the quarterback down there, Tua Tagovailoa, but you know you're not guessing what he wants from you. You know what I mean? So. if you have a defined culture that you're bringing with you, it just makes it easier for everybody to get on the same page, as opposed to, yeah, let's just be nice and figure this thing out, and you know, it'll show itself to us culture-wise. That doesn't ever work. No. Like, you got to come with an idea of what you want your culture, your personality, the team's personality to be, because if you don't, it can go anywhere. And once it starts going anywhere, it goes everywhere.
Yeah. No, the coach has to come in and immediately set the identity of the franchise.
Yes.
I don't think there's any question about that. And they can't miss. I mean, how much more can we take?
I mean, it's...
We're the most beleaguered fan base in sports. I mean, you could tell me the Cleveland Browns, but they went to the playoffs last year. They're having a bad year this year. But, you know, I mean, who's worse? We're the longest playoffless streak in North America. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's what makes it so bad. Like, if you think back to the 90s and the 2000s, we were not still bad. The Jets. We were still a franchise that won. But at least we would win every couple of years and get to the playoffs.
Made the playoffs. Herman Edwards, Mangini, Rex, yes.
The constant of losing. And look, I don't know if this is just emotional, and maybe you'll agree with me on this, but it feels like because this team is so freaking undisciplined, and it was Robert Saleh, and now it's Jeff Ulbrich, they commit so many mindless penalties.
Mindless.
That they really do need a taskmaster. That they do need an ass-kicking head coach that isn't going to befriend everybody and say, I love you, you're great. Like, they almost need that stereotypical badass head coach to maybe clean this mess up.
There's no question. Badass. And to me, Rex is a badass, and Flores is a badass. And that's the kind of guy they need to come in, stick his foot right up Sauce Gardner's rear end. You know, let's start with him. I mean, I guess he was okay yesterday. Maybe someday in his career he'll get an interception. Probably when he's playing for, like, the Steelers or something.
Now, this is unfortunately a discussion we've had to have a lot over the years because the Jets are always out of it at the end of the season.
Right.
What do you say to your fellow Jet fan who wants and is actively rooting against this team for the rest of the way, thinking about the draft position?
You know, what I'll say is, how many times, look, everybody went crazy. Wow, we got to suck for Sam Darnold. Well, Sam Darnold wound up being there with the third pick. How'd that work out? You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? I mean, you look at these quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen wasn't the first pick in the drafts. Lamar Jackson wasn't. Patrick Mahomes wasn't. You know, Jalen Hurts was a second-round draft choice. I mean, you know, we could go on with this kind of thing, you know? Just because you got the highest draft pick doesn't mean anything. How many brutal first round picks have we had over the years?
Right.
You know?
So much of it is coaching, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, no question.
That's why what you're talking about. So you're talking about the head coach, obviously, but it's also the coordinator.
Yes.
Right. Whatever the infrastructure is around the young quarterback, it has to be right. Because it's the quickest way to ruin a young quarterback is to have that wrong. We've seen it over and over and over again. Unfortunately, a lot of times with the Jets.
Yeah, nah, it's really been rough. I never root against them. I want to win. Can I beat the Dolphins once?
Can I
stick it to them?
Yes.
I mean, I hate the Dolphins. Can I beat them one time instead of I got to lose to them twice?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you look at the last five games of the year, Miami, Jacksonville, the Rams, Buffalo, Miami again. We'll see if that last game matters. How many games do you think they're going
to Miami.
Right, see if it matters to Miami. For us, we only know.
You know, I don't know anymore. You know, I don't know anymore, bro, because they've been so creative in how they've lost these games. I mean, outside of three games this year, maybe even only two, outside of the 49er game and the Cardinal game, and I won't even say the Pittsburgh game because they had a lead in that game, and that game was a one-point game until the ball bounced off Garrett Wilson's hands, and the guy takes it to the one-yard line and turn the whole game around. Outside of those games, they've been in every game.
Yeah.
Every game was right there for them to win. So the brutality of the losses is just,
it adds up, man. It's crazy.
I was like 10 minutes. It was so bad yesterday. Of course, I get COVID, of course. But it was so bad yesterday that I had a hard time watching football after that last night. I really did. I watched a little of the Eagle game, you know, Eagles-Ravens. I put on Buffalo for a few minutes. I knew that game was going to be a blowout. And the snow was nice, but you knew they were killing. The Niners are in big trouble. Buffalo, of course, is, you know, one of the best teams in the league. So,
yeah, but Josh Allen might be the MVP now.
It's either him or Saquon, I think. Right?
I agree with you. Especially if Saquon breaks the record, which he's on his pace to do.
I mean,
right
he's
now.
Got a legitimate chance to.
He's got a real shot to break the Eric Dickerson record, right?
Yeah. He's on pace.
What is it, 2105? Is that the number?
Yeah. He's
on base for 2130-something.
Yeah, his pace is actually ahead of it. It'll be interesting if the Eagles have everything wrapped up. Last game of the year, and it is an extra game. I don't know how that makes you feel about the record, since he'll have the extra game over Dickerson.
Well, that's true.
But I wonder how hard they'll go for it. If Nick Sirianni will say, let's feed Saquon to break this record.
And don't forget that guy that played for Buffalo in 1973 was the first guy ever to go over 2,000 yards, and that was a 14-game season.
That's a good point.
No, all right.
So let me, you know, we all know the deal with that guy, but he's one of the great running backs of all time.
I don't know.
There's no disputing that.
No question. All right, Joe, feel better, man.
Before I let you go, just one thing. Because I know you're a big president's guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just got this book from Bill O'Reilly. I can't stand Bill O'Reilly because he's a pompous ass. But I just got this book written by him. It's called Confronting the Presidents. Have you got it yet?
I have not. I've read some of his other books about the presidents, which are very good.
I never read books anymore. I'm already into Thomas Jefferson. He goes, you know, right through every president, right through.
All of them?
Right through Biden. Right through Joey Boy.
Oh, okay.
Right through Joey Boy.
All right.
You know, check it out. You will love it.
Oh, I love that.
Confronting the presidents. You into that too, Teak?
I mean, I am. It's just interesting presidential history.
Check it out.
Especially with Bill because of his nature.
Yeah. I don't like him, but he's a very good writer. He had all those killing books, Killing of Lincoln and all that. And I know you're into it, Teak, if you're into it too. Check it out. It's a good Christmas present, Confronting the Presidents.
All right, I will check it out. You know, I love that stuff. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, Joe.
All right, guys, God bless. Talk to you next week.
Joe Beningo in his weekly spot after another brutal loss by the Jets. It's funny, Bill O'Reilly came in and was a guest on Boomer and Carton when Craig was doing mornings with Boomer.
I used to work with Bill.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was at Fox News.
And was he a pompous ass like Joe described?
Was great. Took me to a Knicks game.
Look at that. Did you leave early with Bill? Did you?
I did not.
Of course.
I did not.
Because Bill would have called you out.
But Spike Lee got mad at me.
For what?
Because I was there with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, he got mad. He doesn't like O'Reilly. I tell you, I used to watch Bill's show all the time. Like, I would DVR it. So when he was in here, I was like, should I say something? I was like, nah, I'm not going to say anything. But then I went to the bathroom, and Bill was in the bathroom. And I seem to have all these encounters while in the men's room, whether it's Howard Stern and maybe peeking with Bill O'Reilly. So I waited till Bill was washing his hands. And I said, Bill, I got to tell you, I watch you every night. He looked very disinterested. And then I'm like, crap, I got to say something else. That wasn't enough. And I'm like, you know, me and my wife argue about you all the time. She hates you. I'm like, why did I just say that? And then he's like, well, I hope you win those arguments. And I'm like, I never do, Bill. I never do. And it was just very awkward. But maybe it was my own fault. Maybe I should have come with something better.
I think that was your own fault.
That was my fault?
Yes.
All right. I'll check out his books.
You should have said it. Is it better to do it pre-tape or live?
We'll do it live, damn it! Well, there's a few other things I could have talked to Bill about, but they wouldn't have gone over very well. When we come back, we'll get your calls, 888-808-1019, plus an order of business, because we always promise this on the Evan and Tiki program. Sometimes we make predictions. Sometimes we make stat predictions. Well, all of us went on record predicting how Drew Locke would do on Thanksgiving. How did we do? Who was the winner? Who was closest? We'll find out the answer. Plus, Tom Brady took major shots at Daniel Jones. We'll let you know if we have issues with it. Evan and Tiki, how we doing? So we are men of our word. Sometimes we like to make stat predictions, and then after, we find out if we were accurate or not. So Drew Locke was forced upon us on Thanksgiving. What a depressing feeling that was, having to watch Drew Locke attempt to quarterback the New York Football Giants. And I think it was on Wednesday we all made our predictions on what kind of performance Drew Locke would have. Now, for those that forgot, here's his final line, which I thought was sort of padded, kind of like Tommy DeVito a week earlier, late in the game. He was 21 for 32 for 178 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. Let's start off with the guy that was furthest away from being accurate on Drew Locke. And that person was, as I raise my hand, me. Evan Roberts,
20 for 28, 270 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Locke's sanity begins.
I know what he's doing.
And what was I doing, Tiki, being wrong?
No, you were trying. I forgot what I said you were trying to do.
He wanted Drew Locke to have an awesome game,
yes,
so Tommy
right.
DeVito
right.
would be in the
that's
ocean
right.
somewhere.
That's right. Because it creates a quarterback controversy.
Yeah, it was really, it wasn't anything specific against Tommy or his family. It was literally about
you
Loogie.
You want chaos.
I wanted Loogie to have chaos.
Yes.
I wanted him to have to come on the radio
Giant
and explain.
Fan chaos.
Yeah. Yes.
Can't wait for those Loog hours.
So I was way off. I'll be the first to tell you. Now, I got the completions almost right, but as a fair person, that means nothing. I said 270 passing yards. He had a 178. I said 2 touchdowns. He had 0. Let's go to the next guy who wasn't that far off, but was the third furthest off. And that, of course, is former Giants running back Tiki Barber.
I'm going to say 22 of 38. 212 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
Okay. I mean, it wasn't that far off. You're off by about 44 yards. Right. You know, you had a touchdown. He had 0. You had an interception. Drew had 1. So it was closer, but not quite there. Here's where things get dicey. I don't know how to decide between Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash, but let's hear it for yourself. First, here is Sean Morash's Drew Lock stat prediction.
I'm going to go 18 of 28. 176 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Now, just so you know, he threw for 178 yards.
Uh-huh.
Morash had 176. They both, he had the interception, Locke threw an interception. He gave him the touchdown pass.
I didn't say touchdown pass.
Can you play that one more time? I apologize. Maybe I heard you wrong. Go ahead.
I'm going to go 18 of 28. 176 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Oh. 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Did I ever say pass?
He did run for a touchdown.
So I'm glad this came up because we have a major issue here. I've been accosted when we've done these that I don't know how to, the rules, because I'm not very specific. Sean can't now not.
Hold on. Let's hear Tommy. But as we know, you're actually almost nailed this to a T. He did have 1 touchdown. It was a rushing touchdown. He did have an interception, and you were only 2 passing yards off. So I would say that's as close as you can get. But let's hear Tommy Lugauer.
12 completions on 22 attempts for 180 yards, 1 interception, 1 touchdown pass, 15 yards rushing.
Huh. Now, you specified touchdown pass. He did not have a touchdown pass. He had a rushing touchdown. And Sean just said touchdown. Now, Lugie's credit, he said 180 passing yards. Again, Locke was at 178.
Lugie also had 12 completions, which meant a lot of deep bombs. We all know that didn't happen.
No, you're right.
That's true.
Tommy had 12 completions. Drew Locke actually had 21. Sean had 18. Locke had 178 passing yards. Lugie had 180. Morash had 176. It is very, very close. But ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Drew Lock prediction game is Sean Morash.
This is why I say always write these things down. Always bring them back on the air. I've been a big proponent of this, as you know.
With that said, you did a hell of a job, Tommy. Yes. You were very, very close.
Thank you.
Sean, you win nothing.
I know. I win nothing, and yet he looks devastated that he didn't win.
Why are you so upset that you didn't win?
You wanted to be right.
Frankly, I never win, so I'm used to it. But I don't know why he won, to be honest with you.
I played
more by the rules. He kind of was like a little bit of a, you know.
Well, he accidentally got it right.
That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, but you know
Does
what I would tell
you? Does that make you feel better? He accidentally got it right.
But you know what? Let's say Sean said a touchdown pass, and so it was 1-1. Lugie was 1-1, and obviously Locke was 0-1. I'd still give it to Sean by an edge because he was closer on completions. 18, actual was 21. Lugie at 12, actual was 21. And the passing yards are a wash because they were both 2 yards off.
Fair.
So I think Sean would still win. But I think what we've learned in the future when we do these stat prediction games, we need to be uniformed in how we pick it and what we say.
Yeah, because if you say 1 touchdown, we know you mean passing, because you would say 1 rushing touchdown. I understand I use the word passing, but when he says touchdown, he meant passing. He didn't mean rushing, because he would have said 1 rushing touchdown.
Now, of all of these things, I'm shocked Evan has not taken the biggest bow of all.
Go ahead, what I do?
Evan, you picked the Cowboys to win the game 26-20.
I did.
game finished 27-20.
You know why I can't take a bow on this? So, if you missed our Thanksgiving show.
That actually is pretty impressive.
Thank you very much.
I don't even think I gave a final score, did I?
Most people don't. I was very special. I was also drinking rum chata, and it was Thanksgiving. But you are right. On Thanksgiving, when we made our NFL picks, you all picked, I think you all picked the Giants with the points, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yes. We did.
Okay. I picked the Dallas Cowboys laying the points. And I was very specific. I said, I think this is going to be a really, really close game, and the Cowboys are going to win in overtime on a game-winning touchdown.
Yes.
So even though I was very close on the score, The nature of my prediction was very off.
Because there's no way he can't take credit for it.
I can't.
It was too specific how he got to 26-20.
Yeah, my
They didn't even have to kick the extra point. That's why it was so
specific. Won the game in a walk-off touchdown in overtime. Meanwhile, it was 27-10, and the Giants made it close late.
So, to play the game with me and Lugie, you were 1 point off, but not the path. Had Cooper Rush incompleted that pass, and the Giants went down the field and scored and decided to kick the extra point play for overtime, would you have been more close then?
Mm. Say it one more time.
If they had not completed that pass on third down, and the Giants get the ball back, go down, score, tie it, I think Dave's would have went for two.
That defeats the argument.
Let's just say he goes for one, they tie it, go to overtime, and then they win. The Cowboys win 33-27.
I'd be more right, to be honest with you. I think when you offer predictions, it's the spirit of it.
Yes.
The spirit of it was...
what you intended to happen.
Yeah.
What you thought would happen.
And that's why usually when you make picks, you don't get specific with it because you put yourself in a spot to be right and wrong.
Yes.
So in my case, I was only a point off on the final score. I said 26-20, it was 27-20, but the nature of the game was completely off. So, Sean, I appreciate that. It was very nice of you to try to give me credit, but I take no credit. Where I do take credit on something, and I want everybody to admit I'm right, is that I called this months ago. I said this months ago, and you didn't want to listen. I warned all of you that Tom Brady is a fraud who's going to be a god-awful broadcaster. And Tommy Lugauer would say, you're just bitter, you're just hateful, you're just jealous of him because of all he did to the Jets. And sure, all of that may be true. But at the end of the day,
that's also true.
America agrees with me that Tom Brady is bad. And the thing he did on Thanksgiving, which really bothered me, was he made this whole big point about Daniel Jones, and he ripped off Sean Morash to make the point.
Mm.
Tom, if you're going to make a stupid point on Thanksgiving, can you rip someone off not named Sean Morash? Because if you remember, Sean Antiki got very upset with this. Sean accused Daniel Jones, essentially, of being a quitter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to take you back to Thanksgiving, where Tom Brady, who's probably feeling the pressure of trying to be a good broadcaster, decided to go out on a limb and destroy Daniel Jones while we were all eating our Thanksgiving turkey. Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you the worst broadcaster this side of Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
To think that you would ask for a release from a team that committed a lot to you is maybe different than I would have handled that. I always felt I wanted to get the trust and respect of my teammates, regardless situation, knowing that I was trying to do the best I could for the team because that was the most important thing.
Rob almost gets crushed that time by Parsons, and he got away from it. It's incomplete.
There's just some different things that happen in the NFL, and everyone makes individual choices, and I think we're all at points in our career face different challenges. I faced them in college, and some things didn't go the way I wanted, but the people that mattered the most to me were the guys in the locker room. I showed up every day. I don't care if they asked me to be scout team safety, be scout team quarterback. I was going to do whatever I could to help the team win.
Tom.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Hold on. This is a serious point I'm going to make.
Go ahead.
Do you think he has that conversation mostly with himself, because what the hell you're talking about? Who cares about you in college, dude? You stunk in college. Do you think he's having that conversation because he doesn't do production meetings? Because if you're in a production meeting,
he doesn't do production meetings. Is that because he's the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders?
If you have any kind of conversation with anybody on the Giants,
mm-hmm.
you are not saying that. I honestly don't think you're saying it that way.
Because you're getting more insight about how the situation played out.
You're getting what we all know,
right,
which is something like, hey, you know what? Daniel Jones wanted to do something to help the team. They said, well, you can't practice.
Mm.
So go do a walkthrough scout team. It's install. So you're installing plays. It's a walkthrough. He played safety. So all this nonsense I keep hearing on ESPN and other places talking about, you put him in a disrespectful spot to play scout team. He wasn't. He was walking through playing safety. Sometimes the coaches do that stuff. Like, it was nothing. So to make it a big deal is disingenuous of those people who don't know what the hell they're talking about. Number two, the reason that he asked for his release is because they wouldn't even let him work out.
Right.
Like, go into the gym, lift weights, do anything that was physical. He couldn't do it. So he's going to sit around for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and basically just be a potato and do nothing?
Yeah.
So if you have a conversation, a production meeting with the Giants about like all the stuff that's actually going on that most people aren't privy to, you don't say what you just said on the air.
Mm.
So like the first thing that I thought about when I heard this last week or, you know, last week during the game was, I don't think he's talked to anybody about this Daniel Jones situation.
And that's a part of, because he's not allowed to, right?
Exactly.
Hmm.
I mean, I was there when they released him. You remember, I did my show from there. It was surreal.
Hmm.
It was bizarre. I don't think Tom is privy enough to the information that he needs to be to have that conversation about Daniel
Jones. That's a good point.
And I didn't even think to criticize Daniel Jones like that. That's just wrong of Tom.
No, it's a great point. I didn't even think about that, but I guess that's just because I'm not even thinking about the intricacies of it. Right. You know it better than anybody because you do it basically every week.
You know this. Details matter.
Yeah, of course.
The little things matter a lot because it changes perception, right? Just think about the scout team thing.
Right.
How many people heard this? I'm just talking to the listener out there. Heard this. Daniel Jones is playing scout team? That's so disrespectful. It's not what he was doing.
Right.
It's a walkthrough. Right? Anybody could play the scout team safety. Hell, if you were bored, you're backup running back, you know what? I'll go run over there and play scout team safety. Who cares?
Right.
It's just a walkthrough.
And to your point, the Giants were telling him, and this is where, see, when I heard this, it sounded like a guy that doesn't have anyone who talks to him and reminds him of, you're Tom Brady, maybe what you went through is a little bit different than what Daniel Jones went through.
Right.
So when you try to compare yourself as a 20-year-old at Michigan and maybe being benched because you weren't that good, and you try to compare it to the business decision that the New York Giants made and Daniel Jones' subsequent reaction to it, you're tone deaf.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, A, know what you're talking about, like you pointed out, because you're not getting that insight in production meetings because you're too busy owning the Las Vegas Raiders. But also, you're not looking in the mirror. Like, comparing yourself at Michigan or comparing anything you went through in your NFL career to a guy who was told, we are not allowing you to even look at the quarterback room the wrong way because it could injure your eyes and it may trigger the injury guarantee. I'm being sarcastic, but that's what happened. And I don't blame the Giants. In fact, it's one of those scenarios where, other than the timing of it, which we talked about last week, I don't blame anybody.
Right. I hate that that's in contracts.
I agree.
Because it creates a very awkward, like, what could be very disrespectful situation.
Well, it created this situation. Yeah. It created a situation in which the Giants told a player, you're not even our backup, you're not our third string quarterback. Like, dude, no matter what happens, you're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So what pissed me off about what you said a week and a half ago, but actually bothers me more from Tom Brady, because he's spouting it to 50 million drunkards on Thanksgiving.
You already know.
Is this thing about Daniel Jones, that's not true.
Right.
And if you want to kill him as a football player, we've been doing it for years.
Basically, he's calling him a quitter.
Yes. He didn't quit. The Giants told him we could have a nuclear attack and you'd be the only one left and you still wouldn't play. That's literally what the Giants told him.
Yes.
Sean Morash had a better chance of suiting up at quarterback for the New York Giants over the final 6 weeks than Daniel Jones. So to say, well, he quit on his teammates, that's not how I would have handled it. You're either clueless or you're disingenuous. I can't stand that, man.
All right, relax. Leave Brady alone.
Leave Brady alone.
By the way, it's impossible to argue because Tiki just laid out, I thought, the most phenomenal anti-point, so I can credit. But of all the things Tom Brady did on Thanksgiving, that was not the most egregious.
What it is, and we have the audio. Is it him making up a word? Is that the thing that bothered you?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go one step further.
Okay,
I take this stuff seriously as a fat football fan. The teams on Thanksgiving now wear John Madden patches, right? Like John Madden is synonymous, right?
I thought those are cool, actually.
Cool. And when we think back to yesteryear, we think of John Madden, the turducken and everything. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady pretending to eat a turkey leg on TV on Thanksgiving and eating in a way where nothing could ever drip on his precious shirt and tie or whatever, I found to be the most sensitive, dishonest, untrustworthy moment in Thanksgiving football history. And frankly, if you were not, as a commentator, able to take a big old gnaw like Collinsworth's done it of a turkey leg, you are not worthy of that seat and calling that game on Thanksgiving. That is not the time to care about image. That is the time to let loose. And I found it appalling, his actions on
Thanksgiving. Grab that leg and be a man.
Yeah, Greg Olsen bites that leg. Tiki Barber eats that leg.
Would you though, Teak?
I would have crushed
it. You crushed it?
Spiro Dides even eats that leg.
It's not getting too crazy.
Tom Brady doesn't eat the leg and had the goal to pretend, which was worse. It was like watching somebody lip sync.
Wow.
I don't think I noticed it.
Yeah, I didn't notice it either.
When you're fat,
now,
you notice.
Now I got to go back and look
at it. Go watch it. Go watch it. Oh, yeah, no, it's good.
I'll analyze that. Did you notice the made-up word that he had?
No, I didn't.
You want to hear this, Tiki?
Yes, Liz.
And I'm so glad that we're doing the show with Tiki Barber, because if I was here with a bunch of other NARPs, we wouldn't know if this is a made-up word. But because you played in the NFL, you are Judge Tiki. You tell it. Maybe we're idiots. Maybe we have no idea. Here's Tom Brady making up a word. And Kevin Burkhardt called him out, called slooper.
Double covered, got the corner on him. Now, would you call that as a slooper? You like that word? You sloop out underneath the perimeter route and gets his hands on it.
There's no way you've ever used that word before right now.
There were some good sloopers that I played against for. Troy Polamalu was one of the great sloopers because he covered a lot of ground.
Never heard that.
Is that a real word, Tink?
Slooper?
Slooper. Troy Polamalu is one of the great sloopers of all time.
And so tell me what he was describing.
How did
he was describing someone running underneath a out route or something?
I think it was a safety who runs under. I think it's specifically a safety. That's where I think the S comes from.
Slooper.
Is he looping around?
Yeah, like he's looping inside.
Loop, but loop would mean go around.
Did you ever hear the word before?
I never heard of it.
He made up a word. And then he tried to pretend we're all a bunch of idiots, including Burkhardt. This is why Burkhardt's great. Because Burkhardt's like, bro, that's not even a real word.
Slooper.
I've been around the NFL for a bunch of years. Like, that's not true. And I think Burkhardt's done with Tom Brady. I get this sense. Like, he knows handwriting's on the wall. This guy's not lasting. So now I'm going to bury him live on TV. So that's the sense I got from KB. He's not said that to me. I'm just speculating. So you are here to confirm, after many years in the NFL and broadcasting, slooper is a made-up word from Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about a safety, the safety does a couple of things. One, they rob. So the robber comes from high, just robs the middle of the field. Or the hole defender, where he starts low and he kind of just backs up into the hole and sits there in the hole to take away the crossing routes. The rat, like when they're trying to spy the quarterback. I've never heard slooper before.
You know what you should do? What game are you doing on Sunday?
You know what?
Slooper.
Can I ask a friend?
Of course you can ask a friend.
I'm going to ask a friend.
Monday?
I'm going to ask Jason McCourty.
Okay. If Jason McCourty confirms my belief that it's a made-up word, can you guys troll the crap out of him on Sunday? As you're broadcasting the game, maybe you and McCourty can be like, that's a slooper over there.
Slooper.
Yeah, that's a slooper, all right, Teak. I'm very familiar with sloopers.
This may be a defensive term that I just am not privy to, but I will find out.
He's phoning a friend. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? But I, if it is proven not to be a real word, I think it is you on Jason McCourty, both of you, who deserve more money than Tom Brady, and you actually go to your production meetings. I think both of you should take your time on Sunday to troll the crap out of Tom Brady. That'd be my one request. Because you know what Tiki does during broadcasts? I don't know if you guys are aware of this. He says dirty, random things.
Not.
How about this from yesterday's Washington game? You ready for this one?
These holes are gaping.
I mean, it's just...
Is that so?
There's no denying. That's from the Commanders...
bust.
That's from the Commanders-Titans game, in case you missed it.
That must have been some Saturday night in the nation's capital.
It just gets really hard once Derrick Henry starts grinding on you.
And I want to thank Al Cintron.
That was not in that game.
That was a different game.
Go smash into that hole right there.
We have a collection of Tiki Dirty moments, but I want to thank Al Cintron because I shut that game off at about 21-0, so I did not pick up on that, but Al did. And Al, we thank you very much for contributing to the weekly episode of Tiki Barber saying obscenely dirty things on his CBS broadcast. Let's go to Sean in Carmel. How are you, Sean?
Doing well. How are we doing?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about the Giants O-line. I feel like this is something that goes back to when they got rid of Coughlin and the bargaining agreement. Since they reduced the amount of days that they're allowed to practice in pads, I don't think the Giants have gotten a coach in there that can figure out how to effectively coach up an O-line.
I mean, it's interesting you bring that up, Sean, because I've been saying this for the preseason stuff for a long time. It's really hard to learn how to work together when you can't hit, right? When it's limited, the number of like contact days, because so much of that cohesion is actually doing it, not just kind of like leaning into one another. You know what I mean?
Right, but clearly there's coaches around the league who have somehow thought outside the box and figured out a way to prepare their players.
Right.
It's haven't figured it out. So they're drafting offensive linemen after offensive linemen. My end goal in this question was to say, you know, what I feel like the cheapest thing that you could do, especially on an offense, is hire somebody in a position that's not a desirable position. And I would like to know exactly what happened with the fullback. Like, why is that position just dead and gone? And is that a position that having somebody behind the line can kind of like poke those holes and cover up, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually become a hybrid position, Sean. It's mostly tight ends. Like for the Giants, it's Daniel Bellinger. He's basically the fullback, even though he's also a tight end. And his first year, he caught a lot of passes. He actually had I thought he was going to turn into a decent tight end.
Got that eye injury versus Jacksonville.
But, he got the eye injury, and then they brought in... what's his name? Darren
Waller.
Brought in Waller. Then they draft Theo Johnson. And so, like, his role as the tight end kind of got diminished each of the 3 years that he's been here. And now he's just kind of like the fullback. So there is fullbacks. I think it became very hard in explosive offensive worlds to employ a fullback. Because how are you using that guy?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see a lot of fullbacks in the NFL.
Not the traditional fullbacks.
Remember you guys had a fullback, Madison Hedgecock?
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy.
By the way, we had two fullbacks on that team.
Yeah.
Because Madison Hedgecock was the backup to Jim Finn.
Wow, imagine that. Two tight ends, two fullbacks on your team?
Right.
I used to like Charles Stackhouse.
Stackhouse, he was great. Well, he was also a backup to Camelo.
The best part about Madison Hedgecock is that is the best fullback name in the history of football. Hedgecock.
That dude had massive guns.
Did he?
He ripped his tricep, so he had these like scars on his tricep.
Oh, wow, that's intimidating.
I mean, it was badass.
That's some scary crap.
it was like, dude.
I guess what it comes down to with our last caller's question is, the Giants' offensive line's been an issue for a long time. That's obvious. Is it picking the wrong players, or is it not having the right coaching staff to maximize?
I think it's a little bit of both. By the way, Jason McCourty said, "Nah, I've never heard of it."
Okay, good. That means you guys got to troll Brady on Sunday. What game do you have on Sunday?
We have the Jaguars and the Titans.
Oh my God, they give you the Jaguars again.
That's a rough
Titans.
One. That's a rough one.
That's a rough one.
I mean, that's you know what. I'm pissed about this.
Especially after watching the Titans get boat raced in the first 19 minutes against the Commanders last week.
My issue with this game now, I take this personal to you, is that...
Trevor Lawrence is probably not playing.
Right.
So it's going to be Mac Jones.
Ugh. It's almost like you guys are a good team, and you've been given some good games.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're punishing you by giving you this game.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
They're smart. I know what they're doing.
What's that?
I know what they're doing. Sean and I are going to be glued to that game.
Oh, big time.
There's a lot of draft impact in that game.
Big time. Big Jags fan Sunday.
So who am I rooting for as a Jet fan? Am I rooting for Tennessee to get them out of the way? Because don't the Titans pick ahead of the Jets right now?
Remember this.
Remember the Titans?
The Jets still play the Jaguars. So the Jets can lay down their own swords and have the Jaguars beat them.
Mm.
So you could be rooting for Tennessee in this game to get another win.
That's a good point. The Jaguars and the Titans still play two more times this season. What's so fascinating about the Tank crew is that Jacksonville not only plays Tennessee twice, not only plays the Jets, they play the Raiders.
December 22nd, that game is going to be for all the marbles.
Oh, wow. So all of the bad teams have each other.
Right. So there are going to be
Jags
wins.
Jags not playing the Giants, though.
Right. Which means the Giants.
At all this year, right?
No.
Giants aren't playing any other Tank team. I mean, think about it. They're playing the Saints, the Ravens, Atlanta, Indy, and Philly.
Yeah.
So the Giants are in a great spot where if they lose their games, at the bare minimum, worst case scenario, they're picking number two overall.
Correct. Because the Raiders play the Jaguars specifically, worst case.
That's crazy.
The Giants, in theory, control their own destiny.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Not in a positive way.
No, not at all. Sean's got his Cinco de 5-0 coming up.